This is the fifth and final lesson of our gospel meeting, The Gospel Dares You To. And we appreciate very much our guest speaker tonight. Once again, is Brother Michael B. Thornton. And we appreciate very much, Brother Michael, your diligence and your ability to bring us and share God's word in a manner that is easily understood. I'm not going to go into great depth as I have the four past introductions. I am going to let you know that Brother Michael is not a pulpit minister full time. He fills in a lot. He teaches classes. He teaches a new converts class. And so I wanted you to know that he is by trade a designer. And he helps the government build ships and subs and different types of weapons of equipment for the government. I'll just say that. So without further ado, I'm going to give him as much time as he deserves. Introduce to you my brother and friend. I do want to mention that I always want to mention his spouse because our spouse is makes us what we are. So his beautiful wife, Ronnie Thornton, is with us, and we appreciate her presence as well. And they've been married for 34 years, and he's been a Christian for 38 years. So, Brother Thornton, come on up here, sir, and continue to do what you've been doing the last four lessons.
Well, good evening. Well, kind of bittersweet. Bitter because it's going to be sad to end this meeting and, you know, then go home and miss you guys. But sweet because I get all the pressure off me now, you know. So this is the last lesson of this series, The Gospel Dares You to Stand For It. As Christians, we have to stand for the gospel. There seems to be a similar, somewhat a new catchphrase these days. And the phrase is fake news. And I know you've heard the phrase fake news. And it's used in the political arena, you know, especially. So a report goes out of some political party's candidate and it's usually negative, you know, and so the candidate of the other party or the other party may say, that's fake news, that's right. But fake news is nothing new. It is nothing new. It's just an old twist on an old problem. And not very long ago, the term or the standard term was tabloid news. Have you ever heard of that phrase? Tabloid news for decades, and there still are some magazines dedicated to this type of reporting, magazines that were, you know, basically used to report some kind of outlandish untruth to produce shock and awe in order to sell publications. You know, that was the whole purpose of it. We have publications that exist today, but some of the old ones, you know, were called like The Scoop, Confidential, Hush Hush. That was actually the name of one of those. And they reported outlandish stories such as like a woman gives birth to a half-human, half-alligator. You know? Or something like survivors were recently found on the Titanic. Now, didn't that sink in 1912? Yeah. And so, you know, a four-legged woman just opened a dance studio. So, you know, things like that were obviously fake and hilarious and tabloid, and most of us wouldn't believe it because we know that those things weren't true. But, surprisingly, some people believe those things. And that's the tragedy of it. Some people believed it, but hey, you know, that's how people can be. But the problem that we have today, it's fake news today is always reported as true news. You know, that is why fake news is even more serious, because when a falsehood is not so obvious, then you don't know what to think. So then, like this morning we talked about, you do your investigation. Fake news that calls into question a person's character or falsely accuses someone of a crime can do harm to that person's reputation, and et cetera, you know. They can lose financial gain and just everything. It tears up a person's life because of such news. But brethren, there is a fake news that exists today that is more tragic than this, and that is the fake news about the gospel. The fake news about the gospel. It is more dangerous and is more fatal because it is presented as good news. It is presented as good news. And tragically, fake news that is preached as good news has led many souls to damnation. So today, brethren, we're going to take a look at some of these. And we're going to do our own investigation and look at what is presented as good news today, but is actually fake news. And you remember the heralders back in the day, the ones that would sell newspapers. You'd have the little boy out on the sidewalk, and there's people just hustling and bustling around, and he would say, extra, extra, read all about it. And he would have the latest headline in the newspaper, and then people would get that headlines. He would quote the headlines, and that would get people to say, oh, yeah, I'll take that and give him a dime and get the paper. You see that in a lot of the old black and white movies. You see that heralder. But you know, preachers today are heralders of the good news, heralders of the gospel. They herald that message. So what we're going to do, we're going to act like that young kid that says, extra, extra, read all about it. And the first one we're going to look at tonight, extra, extra, read all about it. Jesus preached another gospel to America. Yes, Jesus preached another gospel to America. Is that good news or is that fake news? Well, let's take a look. Let's take a look. Number one, the Bible says that there's only one gospel that was delivered. Only one. So how could there have been another gospel delivered to America? There's only one. Galatians 1, if you would turn there. Galatians 1, verse 6 through 9. Paul here would say, I marvel to the Galatians that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And as I said before, so say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So brethren, there was only one delivered according to the Bible. One delivered. And it is one and only one faith. Again, go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God, one Father of all, who is above all, through you all, and in you all. Brethren, there's a whole list of ones there, seven list of ones, and the faith is one of them, which is the gospel. Only one delivered, and only once delivered. Turn to Jude 3, if you will. Jude 3. This is Jude writing to Christians. Christians unidentified, but he's writing to Christians. And in Jude, verse 3, it says, Beloved, gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful to me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Where was the gospel delivered first? In Jerusalem. It went from Jerusalem to Judea, then to Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. There was no other gospel that was delivered. But yet, we would have our Mormon friends tell us that there was a gospel delivered to America. Brethren, this is fake news. This is fake news. Well, we have something else. Extra, extra. Read all about it. You can join any church of your choice. You can join any church of your choice. That's like joining that club that the four-legged woman, you know, her dance studio, right? Join any church of your choice. Well, let's look at what the Bible has to say about. First of all, the Bible says there's only one that was built. Matthew 16 and verse 18, you have Jesus in his discussion with his disciples. And he asked them, you know, who do men say that I am? And they would say, well, some say that you are this prophet, that prophet. But Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And then Peter would say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus would say to him, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, why did he say, thou art Peter? Do you know that parallels of Matthew 10 and verse 32? If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. So he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, singular, just one, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he only built one because he only promised one, just one. Not only one built, but there's only one bought. Turn to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, if you will. Here is Paul meeting with the elders of the Ephesian church, the overseers there, the shepherds, and he gives them a warning because he's about to leave. And he says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto the definite article, that's one, the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the flock or the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. It's only one bought. He only talked about one flock here, one church. So there's only one bought. And then one body and one bride. Let's take one body. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, as you all called, and one hope of your calling. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 12 through 13. For as the body is one and have many members, all members of that one body being many are one, so also is Christ. In verse 13, it says, for by one spirit you are baptized into one body, so also is Christ. And so we keep going forward by one spirit. We're all baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one spirit. How many times does the Bible have to say one to mean one? Let me ask you a question. What is one times one times one times one times one times one? It's just one, brethren. Just one. It still equals one. If there's only one body, then there's only one church. And here, multiple times, he said there was one body. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 tells us what that one body is. And that put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Brethren, there is one body, just one body, and there is one bride. I think it's something interesting about Jesus Christ, because we have bishops here. They're called overseers or elders or shepherds. And one of the qualifications for a bishop was to have one wife. Isn't that right? One wife. 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, a bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife. Brethren, so it is with Christ. Christ, he is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. 1 Peter 2 and verse 25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. So Christ, brethren, is a bishop, just like we have bishops in the Lord's church. Qualifications for them was one wife. Jesus is only presented as having one wife, one bride. Ephesians 5, verses 23 through 31. What is this one bride that Jesus has? Well, let's read. In verse 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." So again, you get a parallel between a husband and a wife and Christ and the church. And he is the savior of the body, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Does that sound familiar? Remember in the garden when God created Eve from the rib of Adam? And then Adam would exclaim, "This she is my body or my flesh and my bones." His wife is what he was saying. And so here, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Brethren, he has one bride, and that's all he has. And that bride, it says here, is the church. Just one. Just one. You can join any church of your choice. Another reason that's wrong, because we don't join the church. We're added to it. Acts 2 and verse 47. And we aren't added to the church of our choice, are we? Because there's only one church, and that's the Lord's church. So, brethren, this is fake news. This is fake news. Extra, extra. Read all about it. Once saved, you can never fall. You're always saved, and you can never, ever fall. Is that fake news, or is that the gospel? Is that good news? Well, let's look and see what the Bible has to say. Number one, brethren, do you know that the very way you think can cause you to fall? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he," what? "Fall." So elders in the church must not be new to the faith, lest they be puffed up, it says, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 6. One of the qualifications for an elder, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he, what? Fall into the condemnation of the devil. So the very way we think can cause us to fall. The very way we speak can cause us to fall. Look in James chapter 5, if you will. In James chapter 5, the very way we speak, the very words that we say can cause us to fall. "But beloved, or but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Lest you" what? Here it is again. Lest you fall into condemnation. Matthew 12. Let's turn there. Matthew 12 verses 36 through 37. It says there, "But I say unto you that every idle word," that's careless word, people, "every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." Brethren, the very way we speak can cause us to fall. But then again, what we lack can cause us to fall. 2 Peter chapter 1, turn there if you will. We have to add some things and have to abound in some things. But what can happen if we lack some things? Well, listen to what Peter said, what he encouraged the Christians to do. First of all, he gives them a list of things to add to their faith in 2 Peter chapter 1. And so he tells them to add these things to their faith. But then he comes to the point where he says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence and make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never" what? "Fall." Never fall. Last and not least, the very things we seek can cause us to fall. Look at Matthew chapter 15, if you will. Matthew 15, verses 13 through 14, says here, "But he answered," and this is Jesus speaking, "he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father have not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall" what? "Fall." But didn't they tell us, once saved, always saved? You can never fall? Now, I think we looked at four examples here of where we can fall. You know, the very things we seek after. Seeking after false religions is what he discussed here. But now seeking after error. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. Seeking after error can cause us to fall. 2 Peter 3 and verse 17, it says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." So again, the Bible tells us that we can fall. Seeking justification from any other means but the gospel can cause us to fall. Galatians 5 and verse 4, that's what the Jews did. They sought to be justified through the law, justified by circumcision in accordance with the law. But look at what Paul says here to the Galatians. "Christ has become of none effect unto you. Whosoever of you is justified by the law has fallen from grace." Brethren, once saved, always saved. You can never fall. It's fake news. It's fake news. Extra, extra. Read all about it. You don't need to be baptized to be saved. Is that good news? Some people think it is. But no, it isn't. It's not good news. Let's go back to the scriptures. First of all, let's learn what happens to us when we are baptized. First of all, it places me into the death of Christ. Romans 6, verse 3 through 4, you turn there and let's read that. It places me into the death of Christ. "Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." It places me into the death of Christ. It places me far away from my sins. Far away from my sins. Turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We're all familiar with this passage. "Then Peter said unto them," after these Christians who or Jews had learned the gospel, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter answered and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name," or "into the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." It places me far away from my sins. That's what baptism does for me. It places me into the church, into the body. Acts 2 and verse 47, "Praising God." Now, this is the King James, so I'm going to explain something here in a second. "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." In the Greek, the word ekklesia is not there. It's really added to them. And when you get to Acts chapter 5, after we have that incident of Ananias and Sapphira, and where God smote them for lying, it says their fear came upon all the church. So that's what they were being added to, the church. And that's how we know throughout the book of Acts, the Bible discussed the people being added to the church or becoming members of the church, and that was through baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 says, "For by one spirit we're all baptized into one body," and we learn that the body is the church. It places me into the church, the body, but it also places me in Christ. Brethren, do you think you can be saved without being in Christ, without putting on Christ? No. It's no way. But in Galatians 3 and verse 27, "For as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." That means we are clothed with Christ. And you cannot be saved if you're not clothed with Christ. It places me in Christ, but then, brethren, it places Christ in me. Remember, when you're baptized, you're crucified with him. Remember, we read that in Romans? But look in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Look at what it says there about our crucifixion in Christ. It says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth," where? "In me." Christ liveth in me. Romans 6 and verse 4, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death. knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That's where that crucifixion took place, in baptism, in baptism. And so it places Christ in me. Therefore, brethren, it saves me. 1 Peter 3:21. Here Moses Peter is going to go back to Noah in the ark, and he's going to talk about how God destroyed the world with the flood and how only 8 souls were saved, it says, by water. How was eight souls saved by water? You know? Well, what was the problem? The world was full of sin. And so God said to Noah, 120 days, Noah. 120 days. Or 120 years. 120 years. And Noah spent 120 years building that ark and preaching. Don't forget that Noah preached. The people had a chance to get on that ark. But only Noah and 7 more got on that ark. 8 souls. And look at what Peter says here. The like figure whereunto baptism doeth also now what? Save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. People get hung up on that, and I don't know why. But we're going to talk about that. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now look here. That section that says not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, is in parentheses. And if you know English, that's just added. You can take that out and you'd have what this actual sentence actually says. Now let's read that without the parentheses, but I'm going to explain to you why the parentheses is there. The like figure whereunto baptism doeth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Realize that that was what that was saying? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Brethren, if Jesus had not been risen from the dead, then our faith is in vain. What it says in 1 Corinthians 15, our faith is in vain. And we are of most men most miserable, you know, because we're the ones preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But if he had not risen from the dead, our faith is in vain. But here it says baptism saves us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you know when you're buried in baptism, that's what you're doing? You're mimicking what Christ did. He died, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead. And that's the same thing that we're doing. That's how we obey the gospel. But why did he say not putting away the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God? Remember, Peter goes on to explain that we have a priesthood, don't we? We are now priests of God. Not just the males, but your females also. Why? What does Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 tell us to do? What are our bodies? What do we offer our bodies as to God? As a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice like they did in the Old Testament under the old law. But we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We're priests unto God. What did the priests do with water in the laver before the temple? They washed. What were they washing? Were they washing their conscience? No, they were just washing their flesh so they can go in and serve God. And you know what? If they didn't wash, God would smite them for entering into the temple because God said he would be glorified. And so they had to wash. So in comparison with that priesthood, he's now telling us, when we're baptized, no, we're not washing our flesh like those priests did. You know what we're washing? We're washing away our sins so we can have a good conscience toward God. When you remove your sin, there's no more anything there between you that stands between you and the Lord. You're no longer guilty before God, so your conscience is clean. Great blessing. And it only comes through being baptized into the name of Christ. So, brethren, baptism saves us. I don't need to be baptized to be saved. That's fake news. Fake news. Well, brethren, that concludes our gospel meeting and concludes this lesson. So I just want to repeat. Fake news, Jesus preached another gospel. He You can join a church of your choice. Once saved, always saved, you can never fall. And you don't need to be baptized to be saved. Brethren, this is not just fake news. This is fatal news. Because it will condemn your soul if you go on believing this. So tonight, if you're not a Christian, if you believe it, if you have been believing these things that we just outlined as fake news, now you know what the truth is. And we want you to obey the truth. We want you to obey the gospel. We want you to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We also want you to repent. Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so you need to repent, meaning to turn. You need to make a turn. You need to decide. You're no longer going to follow this fake news. You're going to follow the true gospel, the good news. And then you need to confess. Confess your belief before men, before us, that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then be baptized. Because we can't baptize you if we don't know that you believe. And so be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You're raised up to walk in newness of life and then live faithfully to God for the rest of your life. Revelations 2 and verse 10 tells us that, be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That being faithful unto death there actually means be faithful even if it means death. That's serious, brethren. That's serious. But you have a serious decision to make tonight if you want to obey the gospel. Please obey the gospel because your soul is worth it. Let us rise and sing.